Heavenly Father, please speak to us this morning as we look at your word. May your spirit take this word and plant it deep in our hearts and help us to obey. And we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Well, I wonder, how are you with deadlines? How does the impending end impact the choice that you make in the present and the things that you choose to do? I wonder, we might think of everyday deadlines that we all face. The washing is on the line and there's a storm threatening. We've all faced that one recently, haven't we? The fruit is ripe on the tree and it needs to come off before the birds and the bugs get to it. Perhaps it's a little while since many of you have faced this one, but you remember exams when they're looming and the books won't read themselves? Perhaps some of you still working know when the work report has to be written, or else your boss is on your back and the funding's about to be redistributed and all the rest of it. What about when the oven timer goes off and what's cooking will begin to burn unless we go and get it out of the oven? We face all sorts of deadlines in our everyday life. How are you with deadlines? This parable series that we've been looking through in this cluster of parables in Matthew 13 over the last 5 weeks, and this is the last of them. But we've seen through this series, as we've come back again and again to these parables, just how Jesus was trying to thoroughly reorder his hearers' worldviews in these stories. Jesus was telling these stories that we might reorder our priorities. He was showing in often surprising ways what really matters. And then he was calling on his disciples to get on board. The kingdom of heaven is like this. You should think of it this way, Jesus says. And in doing so, he's asking, are you in line with God's priorities? Are you sold out for building God's kingdom here on earth? Jesus' intention in telling the parables is to reorder our worldview. They are meant to get under our skin. They are meant to get stuck in our head. They are meant to have us keep coming back to it, looking again and again to see what we might find. They're a little bit like those coffee table books that you might see from time to time of the magic eye pictures. There's a picture up on the screen in case you're not sure what I'm talking about. Have you seen those sort of pictures in books on coffee tables that you have to stare at them for a good while before you can see anything emerging from them? But once you see it, you can't unsee it. By nature, Jesus' parables are a bit like that. I'll get you to flick on, Jeff, just because otherwise they'll all be trying to see whatever's in that picture instead of listening to me. Was it? I can't see them. I'm hopeless with them, to be honest. Jesus' parables are a bit like that, though. They invite us to be looking at them again and again because they are a bit cryptic. They get us questioning. They get us pondering. But if we will ponder them, if we will stew on them, if we will let them stew in us, then a new picture emerges which can't be unseen. And this picture reorders how we see the world. It changes us, and we can't go back. Well, the parable of the net is another parable just like that, I think. You see, it's Jesus reminding his followers, folks, there is a deadline, a reckoning coming, and one which has very serious consequences. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and it caught all kinds of fish. Some of you might be good with fishing. I'm a terrible fisherwoman, I'll tell you that now. But I do know that my chances of catching a fish are greatly improved with a net. Fishing pole, I might catch one, maybe, but a net placed in the right spot is going to catch them all. All of the fish swept up into this net in this moment. Jesus continues, when the net was full, the fishermen pulled up the net on the shore and they sat down and they collected the good fish in baskets, but they threw the bad ones away. Not all the caught fish are keepers. The good fish are kept, the bad, the too small, the inedible, they're thrown away. And Jesus, as he does in about one quarter of the parables that he told, in this one, he tells us the meaning of this parable. It's going to be like this, he says, at the end of the age, when the angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous, and the wicked will be thrown into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, Jesus told this parable to remind his followers there's a deadline coming. There's a day of judgment coming for all people on the earth. None of us will miss it. And woe to those who find that they are in the wicked. Woe to those found to be the wicked, for they will receive the blazing furnace, the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. We struggle, I think, to talk about or think about or even acknowledge the reality of hell. But Jesus believed in it. He taught of its reality. We might shy away from speaking about it, but Jesus didn't. And you know why? It was because he, like God the Father, wants no one to go there. The reality is spoken of so that the hearer can respond now, while there is still time. It's a kindness of God to tell us the reality of the truth. And such a parable ought to make any hearer check our heart. It ought to lead us each to ask the question, am I in right relationship with God? That is, am I one of the righteous that Jesus is talking about, or one of the wicked? Of course, we know that the difference is what we do with Jesus. Trusting him alone to save us, not our own effort or our own work. Only Jesus makes us right with God. Only he can make us righteous. Yes, this parable ought to remind us to check our own hearts. And folks, if you're here today and you're not sure where you stand with God, please come talk to Trev, come talk to myself or someone you trust so that we can help you in this. But you know, I think there's more in this parable than that. I think there's more here for us. I think Jesus tells this parable, in fact, to inspire us to action. We who know the truth that Jesus alone can save, to inspire us to action. Think about this. This parable of the end judgment isn't told to the crowds, to the masses. It's told to the inner circle. We've skipped over some of this in our series so far. That is, we've read it, but we haven't actually pointed it out. But I wonder if you've noticed the different settings that have happened through our parable series in Matthew 13. See, Jesus started teaching his parables in this chapter before huge crowds that had gathered to hear him. So in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 13, we read this. Such large crowds gathered around Jesus that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables. And so we read of his telling the parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds, the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. These Jesus tells to the crowds who have gathered to hear from him. But in verse 36, the setting changes. Here's what verse 36 says. Then he, Jesus, left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds." Jesus then gives the explanation of that parable, which we looked at a few weeks ago, and then he tells the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl, and he tells today's parable of the net. That is, these conversations weren't for the masses, they were for the ones gathered around in the inner circle, for his disciples. Well, I wonder, what difference do you think that makes? What difference does it make who the audience is? How might it help us to understand each parable and its purpose if we do understand the original audience? That would be a useful thing to go away and keep pondering as you go back to revisit these parables in Matthew 13. Jesus tells this story of the net, the reality of coming judgment and the hell that faces the wicked. Why do you think he told the disciples and not the crowds? Did he tell it so that people would check their hearts? Remind them that judgment is coming so that they would check where they stand before God before it's too late? Well, yes. I think it's right we check our hearts, as I said before. But I think Jesus has a bigger goal in mind here as well. You see, I don't think Jesus told this parable about impending judgment to frighten people, but rather to motivate his disciples. He's reminding his disciples, friends, there's a deadline coming. The washing is on the line and the storm is just over there. The fruit is ready to be picked and the birds are circling. The fiery furnace, weeping and gnashing of teeth await those who haven't trusted in Jesus. And judgment day is coming. Now imagine with me for a moment that you were in that room, that you were there when Jesus first told this story. You're a follower of Jesus. You haven't yet got him all figured out, none of us do, but you are sure that this Jesus is God's promised king, that he really is the one who can save people. You know this truth. As Jesus tells this story, who is it that your mind is turning to? Who are you being reminded of as you hear about the coming judgment and what awaits those who haven't yet trusted Jesus? Wouldn't it be turning to those who haven't responded to him yet, haven't heard the truth of him being the saviour of the world? I think that's the point. See, this parable is Jesus reminding his followers of the urgency of the mission he sends us on. You who know this truth, remember there is a deadline coming. Now is the time to share the gospel hope we know. Now is the time to tell the people in your life that they can have life through Jesus. If we wait, it might be too late. Because once the deadline passes for those who are outside, there will be only weeping and gnashing of teeth. Which leads us to the last part of the passage, where Jesus asks his disciples, "Do you understand these things?" And his disciples reply that they do. And so Jesus says to them in verse 52, "Therefore, if you understand these things, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old ones." That is, if you have become a disciple in his kingdom, now is the time to help others also to become disciples in Jesus' kingdom. If you've seen how the dots connect, now is the time to help others also to see it. If you have seen how Jesus is the fulfillment of God's Old Testament promises and plans, now is the time to help others to understand that. If you know that Jesus is the Saviour and the King, now's the time to bring out this treasure for others to hear and respond to. That is, this parable is not told as a story to frighten the hearer, but to motivate his followers with the urgency of the mission he sends us on, inspiring them to take what they've heard, take what they've seen and understood of Jesus as the fulfillment of all that God has promised, and make it known in the world. For there's a deadline coming. Time is short. So reorder your priorities to fit in with what is most urgent. We don't see the storm approaching and just finish this episode of whatever it is we're watching before we go and get the washing. We don't hear the oven timer ring and think, "Oh, well, I've just got 20 more pages of my book to go and then I'll take care of that." So too the reality of Jesus' kingdom. If you've seen the treasure, now's the time for action. Now's the time to help others also to see it, because there's a deadline coming. After that, it will be too late. God's warning of coming judgment is his kindness, his desire that it would not fall on anyone. As Jesus' disciples, if we love as he loves, then we too must share how people can become part of his kingdom. Now, I'm very aware that many of you might not be actively squirming in your seats, but inside you might be squirming in your seats thinking, oh, I'm not an evangelist. I'm no good at this. I don't share very well. I'm not very good with words. I'm not very eloquent or persuasive. But did you notice that those aren't the prerequisites in this story? That's not what Jesus asked his disciples. Can you speak these things to others very clearly and well? No, he didn't ask that. He simply said, do you understand these things? Do you understand about the coming day of judgment? And they said, yes. If you are a disciple of Jesus and so you know a judgment day is coming, then you are qualified. You have what is necessary to share the truth, Jesus says. The truth that Jesus saves us from this judgment. The truth that Jesus alone can do this. The truth that now is the time to follow him. These things we can share. And if we aren't, then who will? Friends, this parable today must remind us there is a deadline coming. And so it must get us asking the question, am I sharing the secret to survive it with those who don't know? Do those in your life even know that you follow Jesus, your workmates, if you have them, your neighbours, your community groups, your friends? As I heard someone put it recently, which I quite liked, if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Well, folks, I also would not consider myself an evangelist. I don't think I'm especially gifted in it, and I suspect that many of you might say the same things about yourself. But for what it's worth, I want to share with you about how I try to go about this, how I've tried to do this for a long time now. Here's my tactic. I name drop Jesus into conversations whenever I can. Not simply church or God, but Jesus. I try to be open that he's a part of my life, that he features in how I deal with things, struggles, questions, good times, whatever. I drop his name into conversations about personal things or about things that are going on in the world that I'm thinking about. And my purpose in doing that, I name drop Jesus so that those who might be curious about him have permission to ask more. Maybe then, but maybe later on, at another time. I name drop Jesus so that those who might be curious would tune in, would perhaps watch me more, maybe ask me something. I name drop Jesus when I can and I see what comes of it. Sometimes nothing, but sometimes a later conversation of great value. Now, perhaps your method is different. Some of you I know are very good at inviting people to church, for example. You're very good at inviting people to our special events that we might have. Some of you are good at telling stories about Jesus and his life. Some of you offer to pray with people and you do it right then and there with them when they say that it's okay. And in your prayer, you share about God's love and his care for this person. There are a million different ways that we can go about sharing the good news of Jesus. I wonder, over morning tea this morning, would you ask one another, what have you tried? How do you go about sharing Jesus? Learn from each other in this space. And will you hear this parable of Jesus today again and join with me in trying to share something? Because there's a deadline coming. Will you pray that God would give you today an opportunity to name drop Jesus, to be on the lookout for sharing something of him with someone? Because here's the reality. There is a deadline coming. And it's up to us who can see that this deadline is coming to reorder our priorities to do what is most important in light of it. We who've seen the goodness of God in Jesus, to show this treasure now to those who haven't yet seen it. We can all of us do that. We who know the love of God in Christ, sharing with others how they also can receive this life and love in Jesus. We can all of us do that. We who have been discipled by others to trust Jesus for ourselves, encouraged by others to trust Jesus for ourselves, we can pray that the Spirit might take our own faltering words and efforts to help others also to trust in Jesus. We can all do that. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your kindness, you have told us of the reality of the coming judgment. We thank you too that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, to die for sinners, and that in him there is forgiveness and there is life. We ask, Father, that you might help us as people that follow Jesus and trust in him to be sharing this great news with those that you've placed in our lives as well. We pray that your Spirit might take these words and efforts, faltering though they may be, and that because of our sharing of Jesus, some of them may turn to him and find life for themselves. God, you're a good God who desires that none should perish. Please help us to have that same urgency in mission that Jesus had. And we pray it in his powerful name. Amen.